You're watching web.dev on Channel 9. I'm Code Foster, and today we're going to be talking about Angular 2.0. So, Angular 2.0 is the latest version of AngularJS. Angular is a really popular client-side framework, and I'm guessing you've already heard of it. But not a lot of people have taken the time yet to dig into Angular 2.0. It's a significant rewrite from the first version of Angular. The first version, version 1, and moving all the way up to Angular 1.1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, is an old classic. It's actually old by technology terms, which really only means that it's a few years old, 2 or 3 years old, I believe. And it's loved by many. If you look online, you know that Angular is extremely popular. And the Angular team has worked really hard on version 2 of AngularJS. It's a significant rewrite. As a matter of fact, the less you know about Angular 1, the better off you are starting in Angular 2. But now's a really good time to start learning it, because recently, as in about 3 months ago, in December of 2005, or maybe January, I believe it was December, Angular 2.0 hit beta. Now that means that the team is committed to not making too many more breaking changes. They feel great about the stability of it and the architecture of it, and so they're going to move forward with that surface area for the API. So you should go ahead and pick it up and start learning. That's what I'm going to help you do. I'm going to be sharing my screen, sharing some slides, and we're going to look at the sample application that Angular actually provides you. So that means that even after you watch this video, you'll be able to go through the Angular documentation and follow the exact learning route that they have lined out for you. It's a really good one. The sample application that they have is a really good one, and you'll be well on your way to learning Angular 2.0. It's easier than the first version of Angular, in my opinion. It's better than the first version, again, in my opinion. And I personally am really excited about this product. So one of the exciting things about it is the fact that Microsoft and Google both kind of had some collaboration on it. Angular's always been a Google thing, but in this version of Angular, Angular 2.0 is actually written on TypeScript, which is something that started at Microsoft. And they encourage you to write your app in TypeScript. Now, if that worries you a little bit, don't let it, because TypeScript is really just JavaScript plus some. And so it's pretty easy to pick up, and it gives you all kinds of help, lots and lots of help with the types in your JavaScript, which is normally something you don't get. And the other collaboration there is that the Angular team has decided to embrace RxJS, a very exciting observable pattern implementation that allows the views and stuff in Angular to be really elegantly designed, where they're the lists and things that you create can be bound directly to an observable, meaning that if you do something like a whole array of web calls, then as those web calls come back, they can populate your list for you. So some really exciting collaborations there. Let's go ahead and kind of start from the beginning and see how much of this we can get through in a short training video. Here we go. Okay, so first I want to do a little bit of positioning of Angular 2 relative to the other frameworks. If you look on Google Trends at the popularity of search terms, the search term AngularJS, you'll see something like this, where sometime in 2012, the framework really started to take off, absolutely blew up in popularity over the 2013, 2014 years, and then has kind of started to decline a little bit, as frameworks tend to do after they've been around for, in the JavaScript world, just a short time. But if we look at some other popular frameworks compared to this, such as Backbone, you can see that Angular was kind of an answer to Backbone, and Backbone's really declined quite a lot. If we bring in Ember, it's never been quite as big, and it's also kind of in decline over the last couple of years. And then if we bring in React, you can see that this one's really got a lot of positive uptrend. So this one's kind of climbing quite a bit. Angular has been in its sunset mode, it seemed, because it was in the first version. But now with this second version of Angular, it's likely really breathed some new life into it. And I'm hoping personally that we'll see a lot more momentum build in this version of Angular. Now, there are a lot of things that Angular 2.0 has introduced besides just a new syntax. One of the things that Angular 2.0 brings in is a component architecture, which was really something that React introduced. A component architecture is quite different from the traditional kind of page with controls architecture that we've been using in web frameworks. A component architecture creates a tree of components where there's always a root component and everything is a child of it. And there's really just a big tree of components. Everything has a parent, everything has a child. And that's the direction that data flows, is down that big component tree. In the reverse, the user events, events in general, all user interactions flow up that tree. And so this component model is really intuitive, and it's a good way to architect the components of your UI. The second thing that Angular 2 introduced that is a feature of React is a virtual DOM. And this increases the performance of your websites dramatically. What this means is that instead of directly manipulating your real DOM, the DOM that the user has loaded in their browser, instead, the framework holds in memory a second version of the DOM, an in-memory DOM. And this is the one that it manipulates with the various things that you do to the document object model. And then after a number of things have been done, then the framework does the relatively easy work of just synchronizing that DOM with the real DOM, synchronizes the virtual DOM with the real DOM. And so that is a much, much faster process, and it's a far better way to do things, because there are some operations like iterating through a list of controls like divs or something like that and trying to update those. Sometimes that is an expensive process with every single iteration. So if you can do all that in a virtual DOM and then synchronize it, you're going to save a whole lot of time. So to get started with Angular 2, go to angular.io. This is a new website for Angular. The old website, if we just go out to angularjs.org, the old website is angularjs.org, and this is trying to recognize both audiences, those that are coming with brownfield applications supporting Angular 1 applications, and the people that are just trying to get into the Angular 2 stuff. But angular.io is like a new website that's expecting that you're probably just here to learn Angular 2. So that's probably the place that you want to start. Now let me just say that the documentation and the demos and the learning path that they have on angular.io is excellent. Just click on Get Started, and the tutorial that they walk you through is all around superheroes. It's a fun topic, and it's a really good introduction. You start off here with a 5-minute tutorial, 5-minute quick start. This 5-minute quick start, if you're like me, might actually take you closer to 30 to 60 minutes as you kind of try to wrap your mind around these initial concepts. And that's what I want to do with you right now, is just the quick start, and then I'll ask you to go on your own out to the rest of this tutorial and complete it. You will really learn a lot by doing that. Okay, so let's just run through this first tutorial, and I'll be able to use this as some talking points to help you just start to ramp up on these concepts. We're going to create a page that does one simple thing, my first Angular 2 app. It's just simply going to output that to the screen, nothing more, nothing fancy. So we're going to need to set up our development environment. We're going to need to write some files. We're going to need to run this in a browser, and we'll do all of that right now. There are some kind of prerequisites here, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on those. You are going to need Node and NPM, although this isn't something that we're going to run using Node because this is a client-side framework. We use Node and NPM as the package managers. So that's how we install Angular and all the dependencies. We're going to start off in a folder. We're going to create some support files, some configuration files, and then do some installs. Okay, so as opposed to making you read all that, let's just go ahead and jump into my CLI. And my CLI of choice is one that I call, but is called Commander, C-M-D-E-R. Commander is a fun tool that it's like a shell of shells. It wraps things like PowerShell and CMD. It allows me to do some zooming, so I can zoom in and make this a little bit more presentable for you. Now I'm inside my code folder. I'm going to go ahead and go into my junk folder here, and I'm going to make a directory, and it asks us to call this Angular 2 Quick Start. So let's call it that, Angular 2 Quick Start. And then we will, that one already exists, so of course, because I've been working on this. So let's go ahead and delete Angular 2 Quick Start with a force, and it's gone, and it's almost gone. Now it's gone. Now we'll go ahead and make directory Angular 2 quick start, cd into that. There we are. And it asks us to make a few files. One is the tsconfig.json. I'm going to go ahead and copy that file. Now, I need to talk about what the tsconfig.json is. But first, we need to get into our IDE. Now, my IDE of choice is Visual Studio Code. The command word is just code, and so I can say code this, and that means code this directory. That opens Visual Studio Code, and it opens it pointing to this directory as its starting directory, as the directory for this project. You can see that it's adopted the name Angular 2 Quick Start because that was the name of the folder. There are no files that exist in here, but I'm working on this project. The thing I like about code is that you don't have to have a project file, it just looks at a folder. Let's go ahead and create a file. It asked us to call this file tsconfig.json. So let's go ahead and conform. We'll call this tsconfig.json. Now, TS is TypeScript. This is the configuration file for TypeScript. And I'll walk you through what these options are. Not all of them, but these options are basically just some configuration options for when TypeScript transpiles from TypeScript files to JavaScript files. What configuration options would you like around that? The thing that I think is one of the most important options is what do you want to exclude? Because this excludes the node modules directory, which is a really big directory usually. Oftentimes it contains a whole lot of TypeScript and we don't want to transpile all of that. That's not our code. And so we just want to exclude that. Okay, so that's it for that file. What's next? Next, we want a typings.json. I'll copy that. The typings.json is a really interesting, this is a really fun part, and I think a lot of people miss this. Actually, I want to jump out to here, go ahead and create a typings.json. Now, typings is a project that allows you to manage the TypeScript typing files, that's the definitely typed files, that your project uses. Definitely typed files are descriptions, TypeScript descriptions of a JavaScript library. So that means for libraries like Jasmine or ES6-shim, when we don't have TypeScript for those, we can use a d.ts file to describe those, and then in our development environment, we get the ability to see types. So that's really, really helpful. All right. We have defined two typings types, and we're going to at some point have to install those typings, and I'll show you how that works in a little bit. The next thing we define is our npm package.json. I'm going to copy this and we'll talk about it in Visual Studio Code. So let's go ahead and create a package.json, paste that in. The package.json is some metadata about this package, which isn't altogether important here because we're never going to publish this. Again, it's just a client-side application. But it also is the definition of some scripts we'll want to run and some dependencies that this project has, both regular dependencies that would apply in production and dev dependencies that only apply in dev. Now these scripts, one of them defines start, which has a dependency called concurrently, and it's going to concurrently run the TypeScript compiler with watch, meaning it's going to be live, and if we change TypeScript files, it's going to recompile them. And then it's also going to run Light Server, which is a really light web server that has webhooks so it can keep our browser refreshed as we make changes. That's all I'll say for now about the scripts, although there kind of is a lot to that. Next are the dependencies. The dependencies, obviously, we're going to have Angular 2, and then Angular 2 depends on a few things like System.js, ES6 Promise, and Shim. There's the RxJS that I talked about, and Zone.js. So these are important, and we're going to need to install those. Now, to install those, after we've created and saved a package.json file, I will take a moment to note that I have autosave turned on, so you haven't seen me hit save anywhere here. My files are just kind of always saved. So the next step in the tutorial, after we've gotten those created, and it's describing for us those, is to do npm install. So we come out here, we do an npm install. By the way, there's a shortcut for that. Npm I works just fine. Npm install takes some time, so I'm going to go ahead and use the magic of post-processing to speed things up here. And there we are, we've finished. with our dependencies installed. And one thing I want to show you is that in our scripts, we had a post-install script which said after the installation, install the typings. So we also, if we look over here in our directory, in our project, we've got a typings folder. And if we look in either of these, we see that we've got the ES6 shim and the Jasmine. And these are just d.ts files that say for something that is an iterator of type, these are the different properties that are valid. So it's just describing what types there are in that JavaScript library so that while we're in our development environment, we get some extra help. That's super cool. Okay, let's go ahead and write our first Angular component. This is going to ask us to create a folder, and we don't want to create it inside there. We want to create it on the root, and it's called app. Inside the app folder, it asks us to create an app.component.ts. Now, that naming is just a convention. We're putting component on there to remind ourselves that that's a component. The last name ts indicates that this is a TypeScript file. And this TypeScript file is at some point going to have to be turned into a JavaScript file in order for it to work in our browser. Our browsers don't recognize TypeScript at this point. Now, this is TypeScript, and there's going to be a lot of new things in TypeScript and ES6 that you may or may not recognize yet. One of those is the import from, which is analogous to the var my variable equals require my node module. This is bringing in this module Angular 2-core. Now, how does it know about this Angular 2 module? Well, that's defined a little later on in our HTML file, and I'll show you that in a bit. But we're bringing in this component, and this component is what allows us to use this component decorator. This component decorator is defining that this is an Angular 2 component. This class below is an Angular 2 component. So this decorator applies to this class because it's directly above it. And there are really only two things that we've specified so far. First of all, this component is to be instantiated inside selectors that are an element of my app. Now you need to know that this right here, this is just a CSS selector. Very cool, because that means that I could do something like my component, and that means that it's now going to be instantiated inside of any element on the page that it finds that has a class of my component. Or I could use a hash to select by ID. So let's go ahead and, let me also explain to you that we have a class down here that is an ES6 thing implemented in TypeScript, and so it's kind of a TypeScript thing too. And we export this so that we can import it elsewhere, okay? We'll see that in just a second. Okay, so that's the root of our application. It spends a little bit more time describing the different pieces of that. I didn't describe to you the template. This is the HTML template that's going to be rendered. By the way, we can either decide to put it in here or we can define it separately in an HTML file. I'll try to show you that a little later. Okay, now what we want to do is we want to create the body of this main TS file. Now, this main TS file is really stuff that we could have just done in the app.component.ts, but it's nicer to put this in a separate file because it is a bit more boilerplate code, and it's kind of nice to pull that out. It's a good pattern. All this does is it imports Bootstrap, not Bootstrap the styling library, but Bootstrap the component of Angular 2 that allows us to bootstrap a component. And it brings it in from a certain place that is the bootstrapping library that is best at implementing Angular 2 in the browser, because we could implement it in other places like in Cordova or in NativeScript or elsewhere. And then this is just an import statement over to our app component. Let's go look. This is app component. This is importing app component from app component. And then we bootstrap app component. That fires everything up, gets everything going. Okay, let's see what's next. We got to move just a little bit quickly. We've got to add the index.html. So I'm going to head back out to my root here, and I'm going to add index.html. It gives us the complete body. That's kind of nice to have the whole thing written for us, because it's a lot of typing to do otherwise. Now, the HTML, I feel like there's quite a few things to define in here. It's not that long. You can see how long it is there on my screen. It's not that long, but we've got a number of required scripting libraries here that we have to bring in just to support IE. So that's just something that you just kind of leave it there, accept it, fine, whatever. We'll get away from that eventually. Here are some script references that are important for Angular. Here's the Angular 2 polyfill, system.js, rx.js and Angular itself. They need to be in this order, all right? Now, rx.js, Angular 2, that's the core Angular 2 JavaScript library. Rx is the streaming library. In this example, in this demo, in this tutorial, we're not even going to use it, so don't worry about it, but it's nice to kind of have it in there. And then this is System.js. Now, System.js is merely a module loader. There's a bunch of them out there. You may have heard of Webpack, Require.js. There are lots of them. This is a good one because it recognizes a lot of different types of modules. It can bring in require modules or AMD modules or all kinds of different ones. So, okay. Now, this is us actually using System.js to define some things about the modules in our application. We have a package called app. That's because we have a folder here called app. And in it, we want to use the default extension of JS. That's because these TSs are going to be turned into JSs. And we want to use the module format of a register. And then we're going to import main. We created main here. We want to import that. And if we have any errors, we want to show those on the screen. Then, very importantly, inside the body, we simply have a my-app. Now remember, that marries up to this selector, my app. That's where the component is going to be instantiated. So we define ourselves a my app element, and initially it has the word loading inside there. Now let's see if there's anything else that we need to do. We've loaded all the scripts. This is just really walking you through each of the steps of that index.html because it is important. Now it asks if we want to add some style to this. This might be fun. So we'll add a styles.css here again in the root. So this is going to be styles.css, and we're going to paste that. That'll just make everything not look ugly. Now we're going to compile and run it. Now to compile and run it, we do npm start. Let me remind you why we do npm start. That's because in the package JSON, we have a script called start that concurrently transpiles all of our TSC. And by the way, transpile and compile are roughly the same thing. It transpiles all of our TypeScript files, and it keeps watching them, so it keeps compiling them, and then it runs this, and it should launch our browser for us. Okay, are you guys ready to go? Here we go. We've got everything saved. We're going to do npm start. Cross your fingers. And things appear to be working. Let me jump back to my console here so I can show you where it's actually served this on port 3000, and now it's watching the files on TSC. At the same time, it is serving our website, and it's relaying, but it's logging all of the gets that are coming to this website. And there we go, my first Angular 2 app. Let me actually hit Control F5 here so you can see loading flash just before my first Angular 2 app is loaded, and there you have it. That's like the simplest Angular 2 app in the world, but let me go ahead and jump back to the tutorial and show you that from here, what you need to do on the bottom, they even link you directly to it. Go to the Tour of Heroes tutorial, and this is going to start from where you are, where you've already created a project, you've already created a basic component. It doesn't do much, but it's a great place to start, and it's going to give you some concept behind this Tour of Heroes game, and then when you go into the Hero Editor, it's going to walk you through the very first step of this. Notice we're going to have some more files that we create. We're going to have more components that we create. There's going to be a lot more explanation. And I think after just going through this tutorial series that Angular team wrote for you, I think you're going to learn a whole lot about the framework. And I think you're going to be as excited as me about it. So that's what I've got for you. I hope you enjoy Angular as much as I am so far. I'm really just a baby in this space. I think we all are. It's in beta. Everybody's kind of coming up to speed. If you missed the whole alpha with all of the alpha versions and all of the churn in the framework, be glad. There was a lot of churn, and it was taking a while for us to get working applications because there were so many variables to keep track of. But now it's all good. Now there are very few variables. It all is starting to feel elegant. It's starting to feel right. Starting to feel like a good framework. So go ahead and build something cool. Send a tweet. Go ahead and include my name in your tweet, at Code Foster, and I'll amplify that for you. Thanks for tuning in to web.dev. We're enjoying creating this content, and we're hoping that you're enjoying watching it. So we'll see you next time on web.dev.